Colleagues, welcome back to the office and welcome to our presentation for today. Thank you so much for being here and joining us for the second installment of K2's 10 Teams Features You Can't Afford to Miss. In this series, we've been looking at one of the best tools to come out of Microsoft over the last couple of years for communication, collaboration, heck, just running your organization and being able to conduct business, which is Microsoft Teams. Microsoft Teams, if you haven't worked with it before, is this incredible tool that combines video conferencing, it combines collaboration, real-time editing, it brings in the power of Microsoft Office, it brings in the power of Microsoft Active Directory and Exchange, and it brings all of that under one roof, so that a company can have a single communication linchpin tool that can bring together everything that you might need to stay on top of your organization, be able to communicate and talk with your team effectively, wherever they happen to be. You know, this tool is so cool, and added on the fact that now we live in this weird COVID world where people aren't in the office every single day, it's really been a major lifesaver for a lot of organizations, myself included. In the first series, we took a look at getting started with Microsoft Teams, how to get your business set up. We took a look at, for example, how we would, for example, sign up for an account, some of the major features around chat and communication with respect to this particular tool. And we also looked at how we would leverage this tool for distance workers and what that might look like. In the second half of our presentation, what we're going to do is we're going to continue that look, and we're going to look at some of the more advanced features, let's say, specifically diving into the Teams functionality inside of Teams, which is a great way of being able to group functional areas or locations or jobs or something like that inside your company, however, and whatever methodology you'd like to see, and what that looks like essentially to, you know, use this for collaboration. You know, for example, creating a document and sharing it with your team in real time to allow them to be able to co-edit and co-author documents together and be able to share. In fact, I'm going to show you what it looks like to use an Excel file. We're going to set this up. I'm going to collaborate on it with another colleague here, and you're going to see the cursor actually moving back and forth between our two computers, like we're sitting on the same machine. It's so cool with respect to what you can do. We're also going to take a look at some of the needs around external access for Teams. There's actually two different types of users that aren't in our normal system, guests and external access. We'll talk about what they are, how they function, why you might want to choose one or the other. One, I think, is a kind of a carryover probably from the Skype for Business days. And then one is more of a modern approach that allows for external users to have much more capability and focus. We'll also talk about some of the policies and security settings that you could set up inside of Teams to get it fine-tuned to the way that you want to work. We're going to take a look at the apps and plugins and third-party functionalities that can pop in with respect to Teams that allow you, for example, to bring in additional functions beyond what Microsoft provides in Teams, whether it be Forms, whether it be Microsoft Power BI, YouTube, and others. We can go ahead and bring those in. We'll talk about lists in particular, which are one of my favorite tools inside of Microsoft Teams as well. We'll talk also about some of the file sharing capabilities, how you can integrate and share this with OneDrive to really kind of harness the features and functions of that, you know, ability to be able to use this, not just only in the application, but across other file types as too, even stuff that doesn't have anything to do with, you know, the Office ecosystem. So all that and more in terms of what we're going to go ahead and review and discuss in this second installment. And I'm sure we're going to have a third and a fourth and a fifth installment because Teams is one of those applications that we're always finding new and impressive ways of being able to leverage the application. Now, before we get started, I do want to remind you that this is a CPE eligible podcast. If you are a financial professional, and I hope you are, you can earn credits for listening or watching today's podcast. It's super simple. Head on over to our good friends over at cpetoday.com. After watching, take a quick 5-question quiz and you will earn a credit for today's class. It'll take you 5 minutes and you will stay on top of those credits. It's so crazy how quick your license renewal can sneak up on you. You might find yourself in a need of getting some credits to keep that license. Well, guess what? Listening to podcasts and watching YouTube videos can get you those credits that you need. Besides our podcast, we also have lots of other courses and lots of different variety of professional topics, including accounting, audit, professional development, and more. Everything and anything you might need to stay on top of your game. So please, again, check out cpetoday.com. Our presentation was filmed at a recent State Society conference, so we're going to go over and switch over to that. I'll join you here at the end of our presentation where we will do a little bit of review and close you up and get you going for the day. Thank you for being here and enjoy our presentation. Alrighty, so let's talk about our next feature and function, which is going to be co-authoring and collaboration, one of my absolute favorite functions with respect to Teams. Now, Teams and SharePoint are beautifully integrated with each other, and they allow for you to not only store conversations and emails, as we've seen here, but you can also use it for sharing files and doing other stuff with this. And with respect to this, you can also work on documents that are stored either in OneDrive or SharePoint concurrently with other users. So the way we organize stuff for our particular organization is that we will utilize, again, a channel representing each specific client. And with each specific client, we have the files section up at the top. And the files section represents the documents that that particular client is utilizing. It could be an Excel file. It could be, for example, it could be a Word document. It could be whatever. However, the stuff that is Microsoft, so Excel, PowerPoint, Word, fully supports collaboration and co-authoring, which is really kind of compelling because it allows for you to have multiple people in that file at the same time. Now, I'm going to do this inside of Teams just so you can see it. I'll briefly show you maybe in the native application itself. But the takeaway from this is that you can have, for example, an Excel file or a Word file or a PowerPoint file, and you could have two, three, four, several dozen people actually working concurrently. Isn't that amazing? So if we go ahead, you'll see here in our demos section, the data.xlsx, we're going to go ahead and open this up, and we can actually open this Excel file directly inside Teams without actually having to go into Excel. Okay, now we are not the only person inside of this file. If you look in the upper right-hand corner of the application, you'll see the icon of anybody else who happens to be in this application as well. Give me one second here. And if they leave, you'll see that they will go away with it. All right, I'm gonna see if I can get one more person to join us in here so you can kind of get a sense of two or three people inside of that file. Alrighty, so we are inside of our Teams application, and we can go ahead and be able to work with this Excel file, and we can even have Steve and maybe an Alicia, if we can get her in here as well, and at the same time. And anything that we have selected is going to show up in real time for those other persons. So if we see, for example, Steve is clicking around in this, he's selecting several cells, we're going to see Steve's work inside of this in real time. And what's kind of incredible about this is that we can go ahead and we can have a conversation. If we click this conversations button in the upper right hand corner, and we can collaborate and communicate on this particular file. So we can, for example, start a new conversation. So I'm going to go ahead and say, hey, Steve, what is the financial outcome? Okay. And Steve will get that message in real time on his side, and he can go ahead and open up his conversation view and respond to that additional user. And they can go ahead and they can communicate with each other. Okay, and those conversations will go back and forth. Now, two people can't be in the same cell at the same time. Whoever made the last change wins. So if we change this cell on one computer to something different, okay, we'll see that cell change. But if I go in, I can go ahead and I can modify and change it right after that as well. So we can have two, three, four, five, as many people as needed in this actual file itself. And we can even create additional worksheets. And I really like this because it gives us the ability to be able to work without having to email back and forth, you know? And if you think about it, the second you take a file and you email it to somebody, well, that file immediately becomes outdated and that file immediately becomes unusable because there's going to be changes made to that particular application. And keeping track of those changes is a full-time job, and rarely do we actually get it correct. So if instead we store our files in SharePoint, we utilize Teams, we get around this need of having to email files back and forth with other people, and we can instead co-author and collaborate with each other. Now, I want to draw your attention to the actual application header. And if we look up here, you will see this little button that says open in desktop app. Now, if you're like me, you might not want to do all of your editing inside of Teams. And rightfully so. Teams is a great application, but Excel, it is not. And I personally prefer to have the full features and functions of the Teams app, of the Excel application at my beck and call. Now, at any point, we can go ahead and click this open in desktop application. It's going to go ahead and open up this file inside of Excel. Notice it is the full version of Excel here. And I get the same co-authoring and collaboration tools that I would expect in Teams, but inside of the full application. Okay. And so even now, when I go ahead and I click around and I'm doing other things, like right here is my other user that I'm choosing to co-author and collaborate, I get to do all of this inside of the Excel application itself. Now, a couple things inside of here that you should be familiar with. Just like in Teams, in the upper right-hand corner, you'll see that little additional icon indicating if there is somebody else on this document. You'll see that listed right there. And in fact, we do see our little SY. And it'll show me, for example, that where that person is at any point. And I can click go to that and it will select the cells that person is working with. And if there was a second or third worksheet, as an example here, let's go ahead and come over here and select those cells. Okay, let's try that one more time. It will take us to that additional worksheet. So it does a really good job of keeping things in sync. Additionally, if you look up here in the upper left-hand corner, you'll see autosave. When we save something in SharePoint and our computer is actively connected to the internet, every keystroke, change by change, is being committed directly to SharePoint, and those changes are being recorded in real time. Now, we can come up here to the upper right-hand corner. We can go ahead and click this share link. We can actually share this out with other people, both internally to the company as well as externally to the company as needed. Now, by default, because of how this is being stored in SharePoint, it is set to the security permission of anybody inside of our company can edit this particular document. Let's say it's something sensitive like payroll information. Well, this is going to be where I can set and create more granular security permissions. I could say anybody with the link. Notice that's grayed out by default. That's due to the security procedures of the organization saying we can't publicly make documents available. I can make it available just to people inside the company. I can also make it available just to specific people. I can also say whether or not editing is allowed and whether or not they should be able to download this document. And so let's say this is a sensitive document and I just want to email it out to Alex White, my business partner. Well, I can go ahead and send him just this document for your review. Okay, and we'll go ahead and click send, and he will get an email with a link taking him to that document, and he can click it in one link and join me, and we can work on this document together. I mean, Microsoft has just made this so, in my opinion, just bonehead simple with respect to sharing information within the organization, and also sharing information outside of the organization as well. Now, when I'm done with this application, I can go ahead and just close this. I don't need to worry about saving this because it's saved in SharePoint. All that data is going to be saved in real time. At any point, I can go back and go ahead and resume editing inside of Teams if I'd like. And I tend to use Teams really kind of more for more superficial editing stuff. I usually don't go crazy with respect to working with Teams. In like Excel or PowerPoint, I prefer the normal application. But if I just need to look up something really quickly, I find this is a great, easy way without having to go in the full application. Now, I'm going to point out this is fully supported inside of the mobile apps as well. So you can do some really cool stuff with that too. All right, let's go ahead and have our next review question. Which of the following statements is true regarding co-authoring an Excel document inside of Teams? Okay, all users must have the desktop version of Excel installed to co-author. That is not true. Okay, all users can see and make changes simultaneously. Also not true. You can make changes, you could do stuff, but you can't have two people modifying the same exact word or cell simultaneously. The correct answer here is all users participating in a co-authoring session can view the Excel workbook. Sorry, C is the correct answer. All users can see and make changes simultaneously to this, but they cannot make changes to the exact same cell simultaneously. So that is the one limitation. Whoever has the last change owns that particular cell for what we are looking at. But absolutely, mobile, desktop, Mac, PC, all the same is welcome and is useful. I can use it. Okay, let's talk about our next section here. And hold on, let me just open up that polling question for you and feel free to respond. There you go. Okay. So in our next section, let's talk about external team members, people outside of our organization that are utilizing with respect to our organization. Now, by default, we have three categories of users. We have company domain users. Okay, we have external users and we have guests. And this can be kind of difficult to understand with respect to what the differences are. And it's kind of weird that we have guest users and external users, but they have different capabilities and different rights and privileges depending on who they are to the organization. Now, in general, the primary difference between a guest user and an external user is that an external user is limited to just using chat, calling, and meeting capabilities versus a guest where you can actually provide most of the team features and functions. For example, you can allow a guest to access shared files, participate in group chats, where external users don't have access to this. And if you check out the attached learning materials, there's a really good detailed discussion about how guests and external users are utilized. And we're going to go ahead and take a look real quick at some of the macro level security functions of Teams so that you can get a sense of how to turn on and manage some of the aspects of Teams and how to enable some of these organizational level settings. Okay, so what we're going to ultimately end up starting with is going to be the Office 365 portal. Now, I want to point out with respect to this, you need to be an administrative user to your 365 deployment to utilize external users and guests. So if you don't have access to this, this would be something that you would need to go and speak with your organization's IT department to kind of make those permissions and changes effective for your company. This is not something that if your company doesn't allow that you're going to be able to circumvent and go around. You're ultimately going to want to come over here to your admin section. The admin section is the 365 portal. And from the 365 portal, this is where you can administrate, you know, your different applications. You can set up users, delete users, reset passwords, so on and so forth. And if you come down here to show all, this is going to be where you can find these other administrative centers. On the left-hand side, if you kind of scroll down here, this is where you can manage, for example, the macro security for your 365 account, compliance for your 365, Exchange, SharePoint, and then ultimately Teams. And so from the Teams center, you can go ahead and click this. This is going to open up another administrative center. I'm going to go ahead and open this up for us. This is where all of the major security settings for your teams are located. It, for example, will give you a sense of utilization. It'll tell you when your team started. It'll tell you what people are doing. It'll also give you great resources, for example, for understanding how Teams gets updated, as well as training for Teams as well. So in here, this is where I can go, for example, and I can take a look at our different Teams settings. So I can see here that we have 19 users, 15 internal, 4 guests. We can see that we have 2 major teams set up with, 23 standard channels, 1 private channel, and then we have another team set up for another product that we are working on, and whether or not it is public or private. We can see the different devices, for example, that are being used. We can see the different locations that people are using from, as well as where it is being allowed. We can see also the different policies that are set up. So if we want to, for example, enforce certain messaging policies or certain utilization policies, this is going to be where we can establish this if we have specific criteria, again, for something like Sarbanes-Oxley or FINRA or something like that. That's how we can set this up. Now, for our guests and external users, those are going to be down here under our org-wide settings. And you're going to see on the left-hand side, let me go ahead and make this a little bit smaller, make it a little bit easier to see. Okay, and I know that sounds counterintuitive, but if I make it smaller, then I can zoom in on it. You'll see we have external access and we also have guest access listed. Okay, and if we want to enable external users, okay, this is where we're going to go ahead and do it. Okay, so external access allows your Teams and Skype for Business users to communicate with people outside your organization. By default, your organization can communicate with external domains, but you can block domains if needed. Team users can add apps for external stuff. They can also add people for external stuff. And this allows you, for example, to be signed into a single Teams application, but then be able to attend a Teams meeting for a client or for a vendor or somebody else in the company. Now, by default, we allow only specific domains. And so we see K2E listed here. Now, if I wanted to add another domain, I can go ahead and allow it. And I could either say they're allowed or blocked as needed. Okay. So with external access, it's really communication. That's it. No file access, very limited. And that's when people start getting a little grumpy. And that's when they added a secondary. Guest access actually came later on in the iteration of the team's development. Guest access allows us to do a lot more stuff. This is where you can turn off and on different features for people outside your company, whether or not they can make phone calls, whether or not they can share video and share screens, whether or not they're allowed to chat, whether or not they're allowed to use other advanced functionality. And guests have a lot more privileges than what external users can do. So this would be where we would set many of those permissions and procedures to allow those additional functions to people outside of our company would be right here. Now, if you don't have access to this, it's most likely because of organizational security procedures. And frankly, I'm not going to go through every setting here because it's not a good use of anybody's time, but I would recommend that you have a conference with your IT team and maybe ask them about some of the guests and external access if you're looking to add, for example, clients and other people. Now, if we come down to our settings, this is also where we're going to adjust how other default Teams settings are set. For example, whether or not there should be suggestions, tagging, whether or not, for example, things should be allowed to be emailed in, what type of files are going to be allowed, whether or not people can search, whether or not we can do role-based authentication. Those are going to be how those different items are set up. Now, there was a question right at the beginning here, and it was asking me about how to better organize Teams. This is going to be where you would set up, for example, your team templates as well as your policies. So if you take some time, for example, you could set up different templates, which are kind of pre-built ways for managing information inside the application. You know, so they have templates, for example, for like a project or an event or organizing or conferences or for a client, so on and so forth. These templates are a great way of being able to organize your company and being able to organize that specific team. You could start off with an existing one, or you can create just a blank one. And this is going to be where you would set some of the organizational characteristics for how to organize this team. All right, let me just go ahead and pop this in. Okay, so we could, for example, add different channels, and then from here, this would be how we would organize it. Likewise, we can also set up default apps and other things that we might want inside of this. But you have to have, for example, the administrative capabilities to go and set your device, your team template policies. Now, I don't need that one, so I'm going to go ahead and just leave that one there. But if you haven't taken a chance to or some time, for example, to kind of dive into some of the team's specific functions and some of the security procedures, this would be where, for example, we could set up calling if you have that as a feature enabled inside of your organization. this would be where you can set up calling features and voicemail and all the other stuff that really, in my opinion, kind of rounds out the functionality of Teams. Alrighty. So let's go ahead and have our next polling question. Give me 1 second. Alrighty. Which of the following statements is true regarding guest users in Teams? Okay, guest users will only have read-only privileges in Teams. Nope, that is not correct. That would be external users would have only read-only access. External users pretty much only can only communicate. That's pretty much it. Guest users can be provided with almost all the same privileges of Teams as ordinary users. Yep. That's definitely the answer there. Guest users cannot access Teams from mobile devices. That is definitely not the answer. So I would tell you guest users are a nice compromise between having a allocated account where you're paying for it and you get all the features and just the occasional user that needs to come in and do some stuff every so often, or somebody who's part of a different organization. So feel free to respond to that. We will have one more polling question right at the end of our presentation. So stay tuned, and that will be polling question, review question number 6. Okay. So in the next section, what we are going to go ahead and talk about is going to be the apps inside of Teams. Apps are a way of extending the functionality beyond the scope of what Microsoft originally provided with respect to how and where Teams function. The app functionality, for example, is very similar to what you would expect with your iPhone or your Android. You know, you have the App Store, you have the Google Play Store, and these stores essentially add additional capabilities and services beyond the scope of what Apple or Google originally provided with respect to the phone. There's a lot more that these applications can do. And Teams is no different. Teams has a whole wealth of additional tools and capabilities that make it a really robust platform for other types of services to utilize. And so I really like the App Store and the apps that you can utilize within Teams because it gives us the ability to extend and complete this tool to really encompass all the stuff that that we would want to use inside of our company. And we can incorporate stuff like Acrobat, and we can incorporate stuff like Google Analytics and Lists and others. And we can deploy these either on a case-by-case basis, or we can incorporate them on a channel-by-channel basis or a chat-by-chat basis. And we can incorporate them in several different ways inside of the application, which in my opinion just makes it really kind of cool. So I'm going to show you a couple of different things that you can do here, as well as a couple of major functions that you might find really useful. So you can always access the overall app functionality by just coming down to the lower right hand corner, and you'll see this app function listed. Let's see if I can zoom in on it. There we go. And if you click that little guy, you will see all the apps that are available, but that's not the only way that you can add apps to the actual Teams deployment. Okay, so if we click over here, if we click into the home, this is kind of just a major overview. It's going to show us what's new, as well as an overview of categories, as well as specific apps inside of the of those categories. So some common ones, for example, would be things like Microsoft Forms, which allows your organization to be able to collect information in a systematic way. So just like you would fill out a normal paper form, you know, we can utilize a digital form, and that digital form allows us to be able to collect that information very cleanly and succinctly. So great way of doing surveys, quizzes, and polls. We could do a channel calendar. So imagine we had a channel set up for office parties, for birthdays and holidays and things of this nature. Well, this could be a channel calendar for that specific group. We can incorporate things like Power BI Desktop. And we can incorporate Power BI reports. And there's lots of other tools that are present, whether it be, for example, YouTube, which is a Google product, or Trello, which is from Altazan, which is a great project management solution. And others, there's all these additional tools that we can choose to incorporate, you know, even things like Wikipedia. Now, on the left-hand side here, you can see the stuff that is popular, the stuff that people use, and this is just kind of organized by frequency of download. You can also see a curated list by category. So here are the top stuff that Microsoft recommends. And no surprise there, Zoho's right up at the top, as well as many of the other common K2 companies that you might hear us talk about a lot. Now, we can also sort by different capabilities. There are capabilities by categories, as well as by functional role. In terms of the categories, we've got stuff to help us learn. We've got stuff to help us improve productivity, stuff to help create community through social interaction inside of our organization. And we also have other stuff that's kind of cool. There's these bots, for example, and these bots allow us to be able to talk with a automated service that, for example, can do everything from capturing feedback from people to, for example, helping us book a plane ticket for somewhere and, being able to answer questions. Even down here, for example, we've got Adobe Sign. Adobe Sign is a great solution for collecting e-signatures from people. It's what I actually use to do all of my document signing. And this allows me to be able to add that functionality directly to Teams. So if I need to send agreements, contracts, things maybe like an employment contract, 8879, I can just go ahead and send that directly out using Adobe. Or I could just even send like a little poll. Maybe we want to figure out when that office Christmas party should be. So utilizing the polling functionality or the Adobe Sign functionality, the takeaway from this is that these are not native to Teams. These are additional tools that extend the capabilities of Teams beyond what it was originally able to do. Let's go ahead and just add one here. Let's go ahead and add. I'm kind of curious about this, our Starbucks one, but let's save that for another day. And let's just go ahead and add our Acrobat tab here. So I can click this. It's going to give me a little bit more information about this. And I can see, for example, it is for working with and modifying PDF documents. I can go ahead and I can click this, and it's going to go ahead and add this to my Microsoft Teams. And we can see over here, we've now have a new icon on the left-hand side showing me that I have my Teams account listed. Okay. Now, we can also add apps in other capacities as well. If we come up here back up to our Teams, we'll come back over here to our Devmatics team and then our demo channel. I want you to draw your attention up top to this little plus icon where we can add another tab. And if we click this, we can add apps this way as well. And there's a number of different ways that we can, and different apps that we could choose to use. If we wanted to add, for example, diagrams, we could add Visio. If we wanted to add a Word document, we can add Word. Okay. One of my personal favorite ones are called lists. Okay. And lists essentially are like a quasi, they're like a quasi spreadsheet and a quasi database. They're like a more structured worksheet that you can use to organize information inside of your company. So let's go ahead and add our lists here. And we could choose to bring in an existing list. We could also choose to create a brand new list as well. Okay. And so let's just go ahead and let me see. I might have an existing list that we can use. Yeah, let's go ahead and just choose our podcast schedule. We could also point one in from SharePoint. SharePoint lists are, that's where that functionality normally lives. So let's go ahead and click this podcast schedule. And what I want you to come up know with this is that this is a great way of being able to organize stuff where it's a little bit more formalized than what you would get with a spreadsheet. You know, spreadsheet is a document you got to open up, you got to get into. There are different people utilizing it. Granted, with a lot of the sharing capabilities, it's become a lot easier and better. But we still run into the circumstance where people could change things, add columns, delete columns, and then we could be up a creek trying to fix it. Well, this is what a SharePoint list looks like inside of Teams. I can actually scroll down here and I can see this is our podcast schedule for CP Today and for K2 for the remainder of the year. And I can see, for example, there's a podcast coming up on Tuesday here. Oh, sorry. Actually, this one on Tuesday was the one we did working effectively from anywhere. And I can mark this as being published. So I can come ahead and click into this. This is like a record in a database. And we can go ahead and we can change this from materials completed to published. And that would now update for everybody inside of the company. Okay, and we'll see that update here just in a second. Likewise, we've got our CPA firm tech solutions. You know, I can go ahead and I can click this little guy right here. If we go ahead and click edit, and I've already completed the materials for that one. And we can go ahead and say that instead of planned, this is materials completed, and we'll go ahead and click save. But before I do, I wanted to point out that everything about what you're seeing here can be customized. The dates, the parts, the codes, all of this are what we wanted this to look like. We can add additional columns to this very easily. So if we scroll over here to the right, we can click this add column and we can add other things about this particular list. So if we wanted to add an image, a currency, a choice, a dropdown, a yes, no, a number or whatever, it's just like what you would get with the spreadsheet, but it is much more structured for how it functions. And I personally really like these lists because it gives us the ability to be able to have a little bit more structure for the actual documents themselves. And instead of just kind of letting anybody be able to make modifications and changes, I can create the structure and just let people create records. And I don't have to worry as much about these as I would for if it were just a blank workbook where anybody can go ahead and change these things as needed. So this is an example of a list, and I personally think that they are a really good tool. And so imagine you've got like your audit checklist, your client engagement checklist, whatever checklist you would end up doing. If you do them as a SharePoint list inside of Teams, you've now created this like quasi database structure that's very easy to functionally manage, much more than when you get with certainly with an Excel workbook or Word or kind of anything else with it. There's lots of other apps that you can choose to add in here. You could do a Wikipedia, you know, where you could create a wiki, very similar to what you would see with Wikipedia here. If you had a designated Trello board, you could do it that way as well. You could bring in any of the Adobe platforms. You could bring in lots of different services, most of which I've never heard of before. But there are many that I have heard of, whether they be things like Box.net or CyberDay or some of these other ones. There are so many different applications that integrate natively with Microsoft Teams. So that is a little bit about Teams that you should be familiar with. Okay. Now, another feature and function with Teams that I want you to know is the integration with Microsoft OneDrive, which in my opinion is what makes this such a killer app for business productivity and business use. You can manage your data inside of Teams completely fine. You can choose to manage it, for example, in SharePoint. If we're inside of a team on a channel, you'll see there's a button here that says open in SharePoint. If we click this, we can manage our data in that as well. Okay, just to prove the point. Okay, so we can manage it on the web. We can manage it on our mobile device. But my personal favorite is managing it on my Windows machine. Remember, SharePoint answers the question of where are my client files? Where do those files live and where do those files stay? Okay, well, when you're inside of a team or you're inside of a channel in a team, on the right-hand side, you'll see this button that says sync. If we click that little button, watch what happens. Okay, this will sync that particular team and that particular channel down to, you'll see there's a little notification in there saying, hey, you are now syncing this team and channel to my local computer. Let me go ahead and show you what this looks like. Now, if we come into Windows Explorer, you're going to notice that when you have Teams installed and SharePoint installed and OneDrive installed, you get a couple of additional icons. So if we look over here in Explorer on the left-hand side, you'll see OneDrive Devmatix, OneDrive Personal. So you can have multiple versions of OneDrive installed, both for your personal files as well as your business files. But then separately, you get that little company-looking icon that says Devmatix. And if we click in here, we now see the channel that we subscribe to, that we are a part of, as well as all those files in it. And so if we go ahead and we click, for example, this demo file, we can now natively interact with that data that was previously only accessible in Teams. We can natively interact with it directly inside of our computer without actually having to go into Teams itself. So if we want to, for example, open this up and we want to go to that Excel file, great, we can go ahead and we can do that. And we can load that up directly without actually having to go into Teams to do so. So this is how I interact with most of my data on a regular basis. This would be where I would go ahead and do it. And in fact, we still see my other user logged in, and we can collaborate without actually having to open up Teams at all. Okay. Now, a couple things I like about OneDrive that I do want to draw your attention to that I think are pretty nifty. Okay. So when you're in OneDrive, whether it be in SharePoint or in OneDrive, one of the killer features for this that I think really kind of separates Teams from Teams and OneDrive really from Google Drive, Box, and really any of the other ones is the native integration with Windows 10. It is really, really, really good to the point that you can choose which files you want to keep on your computer or not keep on your computer on an as-needed basis. When you're working with files in OneDrive or SharePoint, you'll see that you have a status column. And there are a couple of different icons in here. When it has the little cloud icon, that means that file exists in SharePoint or in OneDrive, but is not loaded on your computer. At any point, if you wanted to go into that, you can, and the computer will selectively download those files once you interact with it. And you'll notice if we go back over here, we could access that file just like that, you know? So it's really great because if you're on a mobile machine and you might not want to have every single file located on your computer at every single moment because it takes up unnecessary hard drive space, you can go into SharePoint, right click on files, and you could see there are a couple of menu options in here, and one of which says free up space. And if I click that icon, what it ends up doing is it removes that file from my local computer, but it retains it inside of Teams and SharePoint available for any point in the future that I choose to use. Here's the other scenario with this. I am about to get on a plane and I want to go ahead and I want to get this checklist done for my client so that it's ready when I land, you know, and I need to get those files before I actually get up in the air. Well, what I can do is I can go ahead and highlight these, right click and select always keep on the device. OneDrive, SharePoint will go and download these files and will give us a solid green check mark indicating that those files are always going to be available on this device. And they will remain that way until I choose to right click and select free up space, where it will delete them off this computer, but still retain them backed up in the cloud. Question came in. How do you see the other SharePoint files in Windows Explorer? Okay, sir. Great question. So on the left-hand side here, once you've mapped a single Teams channel into your computer, a couple things. You have to have Teams installed. You have to have OneDrive installed, and you have to be logged into your company. Okay, so those are the three big caveats. You'll have this company icon, and it'll say the name of whatever your SharePoint site is. You would then have the folder with each folder in the root of that company representing the channel that you are on. So over here, for example, we've got our general channel. And if I come over here to files and I click that same sync button, okay, and let's see if we can quickly go back so you can see it pop up. Okay, you'll see that that now general folder is listed and I now have access to those additional files in that specific folder. But we have to tell it on a channel by channel basis what files we would want. So we just can't do the whole thing unless that's how we've organized it. It would be on a channel by channel basis. Another question came in. Does the check mark mean you can work offline? If so, will it sync back offline changes? Yes, the correct answer to that is absolutely it will. It will totally keep those changes in sync. It just means that those files are now on that computer and anytime that there's a change, it's automatically going to be written back. I don't actually have to go and download it or sync it. It will continuously do that on my behalf. So that's kind of a cool way of handling this as needed. So please let me know if that answers your question. Okay, we're coming towards the end of our presentation here. I got a couple more best practices and kind of things to share with you, but we've covered substantially everything I've wanted to cover here. Okay, so let's talk a little bit about some notifications and then some specific channel settings and connector settings as well. Okay, so inside of our Teams, if we go up, because remember, Teams is the macro level thing. So it's the thing up here, right? And then we have channels that go inside of it. I personally recommend you should have few teams, but lots of channels rather than have lots of teams for a lot of different reasons. It's a more concise way of organizing. So don't think you need to create a team for everything. Create a channel and then create a team and then create several channels underneath it. Now, if you have the rights and permissions to do so, you can go to a specific team, click these little ellipses up here, and a couple things. You can go ahead and manage that team if you have permissions. This is going to be where you can add and remove people from that. So this particular user doesn't have permissions to be able to do that, but this is where we can see the different people on this team. This is also going to be where we can manage some of the different channels for this team as well. We can also, for example, come over here and we can click these little ellipses and we can choose to add a channel as well. So we can give this channel a name. We can give it a description. We can also set some of the permissions for this. We could say, hey, it's open to everybody, or it's only accessible to certain people that we designate, which could be useful for privileged information like payroll, HR, partnership, things of this nature. And if we create that channel, that we can then add additional people to that channel as needed. Okay, now with respect to this, a question came in here. Can you archive a channel? As far as I'm aware, you cannot archive a channel, but what you can do is you can hide it. So if this is something you don't want to see anymore, you can go ahead and hide it that particular way. We can also edit this particular channel and change other aspects of information about it, but we can't necessarily just say go away. Okay, we can, for a particular channel, adjust our notifications. We can say, for example, how often we should be notified, should be for everything, mentions, we can say off. We have a channel in here called support, which will notify us when a client application goes offline. That's not my responsibility for our company. And it happens, you know, thankfully not too often, but I don't like getting those notifications just because it clutters my inbox. And again, not my responsibility. So I can come into my channel notifications and I can go ahead and say, hey, I don't want to get notified for this particular channel. Now, we can also come into a particular channel and we can select connectors. And with this connector, we can connect this to other things as well. We can connect this to other tools kind of through a digital plumbing situation. So for example, if we want to pull an RSS feed for this and pull it into our favorite RSS reader, we can use webhooks, we can manage it in Trello. There's lots of different additional tools that this particular team can be accessible to. And what's nice, if we configure a couple of these different things, it will automatically supply data without us really kind of having to do anything, which is pretty nifty. Okay, the last thing I want to talk about are the commands and tools. Okay, now the commands and tools are activated right here up at the top in the search bar. And this is where we can institute stuff through command line with respect to Teams. Commands are initiated with a slash, and these will institute and do something for us. Like, for example, if I want to say I'm not available, I can do /DND. And then watch my status up here in the upper right-hand corner. When I select Do Not Disturb, it will put my status to Do Not Disturb and mark me as being generally unavailable. There's lots of different commands that you can use. For example, busy or call or files or help or join or keys or mentions. You know, there's lots of different things that we can do to say, without actually having to go through the application to find those different options. So we're going to go ahead and say available here, and we'll notice that again, that turns me from being do not disturb to available. If you check out the associated source materials, you'll see a whole list of these different commands and different ways that you can interact and utilize them for whatever purposes you might want. And so they'll save you a bunch of clicks in terms of what you might need to do. Now, there's other keyboard shortcuts. For example, for searching, we can use Control E. We can go and start a new chat with Control N. We can close by using Escape. If you look inside of the actual application supplied materials, you can see there's a whole range of shortcuts that are available inside of Teams that can help keep your hands on the keyboard and being more productive with work for what you're doing. Okay, let's go ahead and have our final review question, and then we'll go ahead and wrap it up for the day. Which of the following Teams commands can you use to change your status in Teams? Is it away? Is it busy? Is it available? The correct answer to all of these is all of the above. Any of those would work with respect to setting your status inside of Teams. Away will set you away. Busy will show you as, you know, hey, I can't talk right now, but I'm not necessarily unavailable. Maybe go ahead and shoot me a chat message. Available, say, hey, I'm ready to go. So, all right, folks, welcome back. I hope you enjoyed our presentation for today discussing some of the more advanced capabilities of Microsoft Teams, as well as what incredible things that this and value it can bring to your organization. Let's go ahead and summarize what we discussed today. Today, we look at, for example, some of the extended capabilities of the team functionality in terms of co-editing and co-authoring of documents and real-time collaboration with each other. We talked about how to use commands in Teams in terms of being able to use some of the shortcuts to be able to quickly get to the aspects of the application that are helpful. I, in fact, use the commands quite often for example, making myself available or putting myself on Do Not Disturb. We also talked about how you could use Teams in conjunction with OneDrive and SharePoint for holding your organizational documents. So much and more. I look forward to the next time that we can get together to discuss this incredible application. And if you haven't already, I'd recommend that you check out episode 1 on this so that you can get up to speed on even more great things Teams can do. Now, I do want to remind you, if you're a financial professional, you can earn credits for watching or listening to today. Head on over to cpetoday.com, use course code 10T2, take a short 5-question quiz, and you will be well on your way to maintaining your professional license. After you complete it, you get a little certificate telling you you've got one more hot, shiny CPE credit for your renewal. Now, besides our podcast, we've got tons of other content. Everything and anything you need to know to stay on top of your game. If you enjoyed our content, please consider following us on social media. You can find us on almost all channels, including YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, and more. You can find us at CPE Today. Please leave us a comment. Let us know what you think. You can also listen on your own schedule. We publish new content regularly every week, or at least we try to. And you can either watch live, but if you can't catch us live on either Facebook or YouTube, you can always tune in and download it wherever you happen to get your content, including Apple Podcasts, Spotify, SoundCloud, and more. It's my absolute pleasure being with you here today. Thank you so much for your time and attention, and I'll see you back in the office again soon. Take care.